Welcome to our Sunday morning worship services here at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today, we'll be hearing from Reverend Brandi Stevens as she preaches a mini-series entitled Dinner with Jesus, exploring how Jesus used meals to build community and include others. Let's join in as the gracious and loving Brandi Stevens offers today's message.
After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This morning we begin a new mini-series, Dinner with Jesus. What a beautiful invitation. Throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, he is at a meal, or he is coming from a meal. This morning we see here in chapter 5, Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners at the home of Levi. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is anointed at the home of Simon a Pharisee during a meal. In Luke 9, Jesus feeds the 5,000. In Luke 10, Jesus eats at the home of Martha and Mary. In Luke 11, Jesus condemns the Pharisee and the teachers of the law at a meal. Luke 14, Jesus is at a meal when he urges people to invite the poor to their meals rather than their friends. In Luke 15, Jesus tells the parable about the prodigal son, and guess what happens? There's a meal because there's a party. And in Luke 16, Jesus contrasts a rich man who feasted sumptuously every day, with a beggar who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. In Luke 19, Jesus invites himself to have dinner with Zacchaeus. In Luke 22, we see the account of the Last Supper. And in Luke 24, the risen Lord has a meal with two disciples in Emmaus. And then later eats fish with the disciples in Jerusalem. Luke's gospel is full of stories of Jesus eating with people. There's an intentional theme that's running throughout Luke's gospel. Luke wants us to see that it was part of Jesus' strategy to build relationships with people over long meals. This was part of his strategy for building relationship with a view of a spiritual movement. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, verse 19 explains, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking." And they say, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Author Tim Chester advocates, this is why eating and drinking were so important in the mission of Jesus. They were a sign of his friendship with tax collectors and sinners. He goes on to explain, Jesus' excess of food and excess of grace are linked. Throughout Jesus' ministry, meals enacted grace. Meals with Jesus represent something much bigger. In this morning's text, Jesus calls the unlikely. He celebrates community. He challenges the critics. He changes perspectives. A new look, a new kingdom. This morning's passage, look at verse 27. It begins with the phrase, after this. Following the things that Jesus had done just prior, cleansing the leper, healing the paralytic, Jesus tells us in verse 27, he went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, also known as Matthew, sitting in his tax booth. And Jesus extends the invitation, follow me. Jesus said to him, follow me. Now let's pause for just a moment, have a quick observation of the text here. Levi is not an ex-tax collector. Jesus sees him. He sees this tax collector sitting in the tax collector's booth. He is caught in the act, so to speak. Tax collection in first century Israel is radically different than you and I paying federal, local, or property taxes. Rome had conquered the entire Mediterranean basin. Rome was the city that ruled the world, and each territory they conquered collected new taxes. These taxes made it difficult to care for your family. People were struggling to put food on their tables because of the taxes that they were having to pay. Tax collectors in their day were social outcasts who commonly used their position to cheat people, considered by some to be traitors because they had sided with Rome and collected extra money in order to become wealthy. And Rome was very clever. They didn't send Romans out to collect the taxes. They hired their Jewish neighbors to collect the taxes. The Jews were looking for the day when God would defeat the Romans and reestablish his kingdom. It wasn't simply Jews versus Romans. It was God versus Romans. The tax collectors had chosen the Romans. They were traitors to the nation, and they were traitors to God. And Jesus, seeing Levi, a tax collector in his booth, extended the invitation, follow me. Can you hear the thoughts that are racing through Levi's mind in the moment? Don't invite me. Don't invite me while things are messed up. Once things are cleaned up, invite me. And in that moment, Jesus reaches towards Levi. He reaches into the darkness. He says, come, follow me. Come as you are, come right where you are, follow me. I want you to be one of my followers. I want you to be one of my closest, intimate confidences. Jesus calls Levi from a tax collector's booth. Now let's not rush to the next verse. Let's pause here for a moment. If Levi gets up, if he accepts the invitation, if he gets up and walks away with Jesus, it changes everything. It changes his direction. It changes his plan. It's a total overhaul of his vision in this chilling moment of Levi's life. Verse 28, Levi got up and left everything and followed Jesus. He left everything. He closed up his tax booth. He left his profession. He left everything that he knew. The act of leaving everything is a significant theme throughout the Bible. In Luke chapter 5, it opens with the calling of the first disciples, Peter, James, John, Andrew, after a miraculous catch of fish. Fishermen weren't typically known for being well off during Jesus' day. But despite not being wealthy by the world standards, these humble workers walked away from everything. They walked away from their boats. They walked away from their newfound massive haul of fish to follow Jesus. With their livelihood behind them, Jesus assigns these men new jobs. They are now fisher of people. From now on, they'd be fearlessly luring in the hearts of those seeking a relationship with the Lord. Like fishermen, Levi left his job to follow Jesus. In the first century, to learn about, to be with Jesus, you literally needed to follow him around the countryside, wherever he was going. It's different for you and me. Because we can follow Jesus. We can retain our careers. We can live in our same house. But church, we can't follow without leaving something. When you're on a journey with Jesus, throughout the days, the weeks, the months, the years, you'll find Jesus' voice gently calls to you. And sometimes it's more than once. To let go of the things of your past, leaving it behind, walking, it's more than walking away from a job or a place. It's about releasing old habits, petty complaints, relationships, the lie that true happiness is just on the other side of the next major purchase. It's more than walking away from a job and a place. Church, it's about walking away from the core value and identity that is built in your title and in your income and the number of Facebook followers or Instagram followers or the mindset that no longer serves the life that Jesus is inviting you into. What is Jesus asking you to leave? What is he saying? I need you to leave that. That represents your past. That doesn't represent our future. It's the act of leaving. It's essential in our spiritual growth because it creates space for new life with Jesus offering a deeper faith and transformation to take root. When we read this text, it's not clear how much Levi knows about Jesus before leaving the tax booth, but it sure seems like that he took a massive leap of faith. As a wealthy man, it must have been challenging to abandon such a high-paying profession, yet morally questionable. The job that he had, he left it and everything else. Levi left everything in order to follow the one who had treated him with dignity and with love. And that's unconditional love, church. We talk about God's love as being unconditional, but do we truly believe it in a way that we reach out to people? Levi responds to Jesus' invitation. He does so with such enthusiasm that he throws a party for Jesus, celebrating his newfound community. Levi celebrating being with Jesus in order to honor him in his own way. Celebrating being invited, being included, celebrating being seen. And yet this party wasn't simply for Jesus and his disciples and Levi. This party was for others as well. Levi has been so touched by the love of Jesus that he wants others to experience that. And the problem when we read the text, what we find is the problem is not the party. The party is great. The party is not the problem. It's the guest list. New Testament scholar Scott explains that it's difficult to overestimate the importance of table fellowship for the cultures of the Mediterranean basin in the first century. He goes on to explain that being welcomed to the table for the purpose of eating with another person had become a ceremony, richly symbolic of friendship, of intimacy, and of unity. Thus, betrayal or unfaithfulness toward anyone with whom one had shared the table was viewed as particularly reprehensible. With that in mind, verse 29 explains to us that Levi held a great banquet for Jesus. Now, this isn't a small, intimate meal. Don't imagine a table for four. This is something much more grandiose, like a wedding reception, a graduation, because you've got Jesus, and you've got Levi, and you've got Jesus' disciples, and you've got a large crowd of Levi's buddies, the tax collectors, and others. The fact was that Jesus was participating in this celebration, and it caused the religious leaders to take notice, asking questions. There was an invitation. The invitation had been made. The invitation was accepted. And there was a meal that was happening. And it's in verse 30 that we find a scandal. Now, when you look at verse 30, I want to encourage you, don't read verse 30 in a self-righteous, arrogant tone. But rather, when you look at verse 30, read it wounded. Read it confused. Read it with bewilderment. Tax collectors and sinners, they hurt people. They make it hard for us to take care of our families. Why do you eat? Why do you eat with and drink with tax collectors and sinners? That was the question. Why? They've caused so much hurt and so much pain. Understand that the Pharisees were huge on ritual purity. They believed that you could become spiritually unclean by simply handing a dish to someone. Just the physical touch could make you spiritually unclean. Just brushing against someone, spiritually contaminating. And so here's this circle of Pharisees, these people who prayed regularly, they obeyed, they were law abiders, they fasted regularly, they did the right thing. And then there were the outsiders. Notice in Luke 29, Luke describes Jesus' table companions as tax collectors and others. It's the Pharisees in verse 30 that call them tax collectors and sinners. The message is very clear. These others, they don't measure up to the standards of purity expected by the Pharisees. The insiders cannot dine with the outsiders. would be spiritually unclean. And that's the question that they're asking Jesus' disciples. Why? Why are you eating and drinking with them? It's contaminating. It's unclean. So the question becomes, was there a way to get from the outside to the inside? And the answer is yes, that there was a way to become acceptable for dinner, but it was a multi-step process. First, you needed to confess to God, and then you needed to confess to the one that you had hurt and that you had wronged. And thirdly, you had to prove your repentance. There had to be a change of behavior. And because it was a day of animal sacrifice, finally you would make your way to the temple and you would offer whatever sacrifice was appropriate. And then the others were acceptable to sit at the table. But God is doing something new, so new that it doesn't fit into any of the old categories. God is doing something so gracious, it takes everyone by surprise. Jesus is saying, I will eat with you while you're changing. I will eat with you before you change. I will eat with you because I have a view towards spiritual movement. This community that Jesus is creating is different than anything that people were experiencing in their day. And maybe it's different than anything we're experiencing today. Jesus demonstrated radical acceptance. Church, understand that I don't think that Jesus was condoning the misbehavior or the sin, but he is separating the individual from their iniquity. And I don't know about you, but I am thankful. I am thankful that God has loved me and continues to love me even in the middle of my messes. He says, I love you and you are mine. He invites us to follow him. He invites us to the table. He loves us enough. He loves us to meet us right where we are, but not to leave us the same. In verse 31, Jesus responded to the Pharisees' questions, and he said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Jesus is saying, I understand that there is something unhealthy that is happening here. And that's why we're having dinner. Something is wrong, but we're having dinner with the view of spiritual movement. Jesus goes on to explain, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To repent requires a change of mind. I used to see it this way, and now I see it this way. Change of mind brings a change of heart. Jesus didn't care about the appearance or the social norms. He sat at the table that others avoided, and it challenged the religious elite. And so here's the question. When was the last time you shared a meal with someone very different from you? Different morals? Different background, different worldview. It doesn't happen often, does it? One family meal with a man without shelter 15 years ago still stands out in my mind. Not because we did anything amazing, but because it is so rare. And that's the point. It shouldn't be. Levi throws a dinner party. He invites all the others, all the outcasts that he knows. Jesus and his disciples join in, and the dinner becomes a place of connection and of grace for people who generally got neither. When was the last time you connected with someone who never gets invited? Jesus wasn't afraid to connect with people that others avoided. That's powerful. And that's the kind of love that can change a life. The community that Jesus celebrated with helps us to see that our life together matters. That discipleship is caught much more than it is taught. Jesus did not go around merely talking about eating and drinking. He went around eating and drinking a lot. There's power in the church when it's gathered. But I think there is greater power in the church when it's scattered. And I know Miss Sarah has given us homework for the evening. But church, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you that within the next 30 days, I want you to pray about it. But in the next 30 days, have a meal with one person, someone close to you, but far from God. Not just another church friend. We need a community of believers, but if we're not also connecting with the lost, we are missing a big part of Jesus' mission. The table is where stories are shared, relationships are formed, and lives are changed. Jesus reminds us, it's not just social. It's spiritual. Let's have dinner with Jesus.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Thanks again for joining us and have a blessed week.